Coming this Easter Sunday, sacred music for the Easter season. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world. Coming Easter Sunday at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
It gives me great pleasure to introduce to you the 2012 Masters Champion, Bubba Watson.
First off, to all my fans, you got to say go dogs. And then second, I got to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Masters Tournament champion Bubba Watson speaking after putting on the green jacket. He is another outspoken Christian athlete. How is the media covering him and other outspoken Christian athletes? So far, the story is of just a genuinely nice guy who breaks down and cries a lot. Why is he crying? Why does he break down when he says, I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Joining us to talk about media coverage of the Faith of Master Tournament champion, Bubba Watson, Terry Mattingly. He's director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Glad to be here.
You say that the media coverage of Bubba Watson and his faith kind of has the same thing missing that's missing from a lot of mainstream news coverage of religious believers in public life. What is it?
Well, the main thing I was stressing in the case of Bubba was, isn't it weird to talk about him like that with Bubba? I get stuck every time I try to say his name. The main thing it was missing in this particular case was the actual voice of the man. I mean, in the sense that it seemed like the big news with this guy was trying to define who he is. I mean, this is like a hero from the American South, made to order, loud, proud, has never had a swing coach, dresses the way he wants to, as you mentioned, wears his heart not only on his sleeve, but like puts it on a rope and waves it around his head on all kinds of subjects. What was fascinating to me in the day after coverage was how few people actually seem interested in what Bubba Watson had to say about his own life. They were having so much fun writing colorful pieces about how wild and strange he is that they never got around to letting the man speak. So on one level, just journalistically, independent of the issue of religion reporting, journalistically, one of the things that was missing was this man's own voice. And I found that kind of bizarre, because the minute you start listening to this guy, what you find out is that there are a lot of subjects he gets very, very emotional about, but the thing that connects them all is a tremendous sense of gratitude, which is closely linked to his faith.
You talk about some ESPN coverage of him, and I think it's from that piece where a phrase stands out to you. What was it? His born-again story or something
like that?
Yeah,
he has this, he has that, he has a big flashy car, he has Dukes of Hazzard reference, he has a born-again story, and then it just proceeds on through that. I'm assuming that, you know, several decades after Jimmy Carter, most Americans in the press and out are well aware that the word born-again there is kind of an evangelical reference. But the fact that they just threw that in there and didn't feel that they needed to deal in any way with what the man said in the aftermath of his Masters victory, I found that rather bizarre and, frankly, a little bit shallow.
I don't know whether to ask you this question, but I think I will anyway, because you're kind of a strange mix, a Maryland dweller who has, I think you have very definite Southern roots, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I'm from the Republic of Texas, yeah.
As am I. Is it also a cultural thing that in the Deep South, references, public references to one's faith are, at least for the time being, especially by public figures, still more common than they are perhaps in the rest of the country? Am I stereotyping in the opposite direction?
No, I think that that's valid to say, but I don't know if it has much to do with the current journalistic dilemma. I mean, is Tim Tebow from the South? I mean, on one level he is. I mean, he's been chopping wood on a farm with his family and stuff post-missionary days in kind of the official flat near the Georgia border cracker area of, you know, of Florida for years and years. He very much has that southern persona. But look at where he's raised. Look at by whom he's raised. Look at, you know, how he's lived his life. To me, the degree to which Tebow is a southern hero, or his bluntness about his expression of his faith and his openness can somehow be called southern. If Tim Tebow is southern in that sense, then the South is just really big and goes all the way over to parts of Asia. The other thing is, in what sense is Jeremy Lin southern? I mean, the media has struggled to try to figure out what to do, you know, with his faith and whether or not to ask about it since he's in New York. I mean, is that a relevant part of a question, a relevant question to ask about a guy who's playing on the big stage of New York? And now, of course, we have the almost apocalyptic event of Tim Tebow going to New York, at which point they need to find a way to deal with the faith element of these prominent athletes' story in a way that's openly journalistic. And that's what I don't see them doing.
Let's take a break. Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of the Faith of Masters Tournament champion Bubba Watson and others. It's Wednesday afternoon, March the 11th. I'm Todd Wilkin. When we come back, they're not professional theologians. They're professional athletes. What kind of questions should the media be asking them to get their voice on the faith angle? We'll be right back.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Have you ever wanted a concise resource on the history of Christianity from the time of the apostles through today? Well, we have just the book for you. It's titled The Church from Age to Age, A History from Galilee to Global Christianity. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Church from Age to Age by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Church from Age to Age, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at GraceLutheranRacine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about media coverage of the Faith of Masters Tournament champion Bubba Watson. Terry Mattingly is our guest, founder and editor of GetReligion.org. As to the questions the media should be asking guys like this, he's not a professional theologian, he's a professional athlete, and the others are as well. What kind of questions, Terry, should the media be asking Watson and others to get their voice on the faith angle?
Well, I think that depends on the question. The minute you start calling someone a devout Christian, with a word that gets thrown around a tremendous amount, I just simply think that you have to quickly turn that into the building blocks of journalism. And one of those I've already mentioned is the person's voice. In the case of Bubba, you have the fascinating fact that Baptist Press already knew enough about this guy that Baptist Press ramped up and did its own daily story on the Masters just to get the religious element in there. And you think, well, how did they know to do that? They follow Twitter. This guy does what amounts to a daily evangelistic effort through his Twitter feed, which means all you do is take, you know, at Bubba Watson, and you know exactly what this guy is all about. Baptist Press noted, for example, his own Twitter biography, where you're supposed to sum yourself up as quickly as possible, at Bubba Watson, Christian, husband, daddy, pro golfer, owner of General Lee One, which is the name of his car, his kind of Dukes of Hazzard flashy car. Well, it's not like he's hiding anything there, is he? And then day after day, he tweets the Bible verse of the day. He tweets what Bible verses he was thinking about at certain parts of his life, or even during tournaments, or And if someone writes him back and says, I'm highly offended by the fact you talk about your faith so much, he writes them back personally and says, sorry about that. Feel free to unlink, and I'll pray for your family. So you have the man's voice. Now, whether or not that's relevant depends on whether you're actually writing about this man. And isn't the purpose of journalism to try, if you're doing a profile of someone, to actually write about that person and his or her life, and what he thinks makes him tick should be a part of that? Which gets us to the second point. You have to have the person's voice in there, but you don't have to necessarily accept everything he says. I mean, the Michael Vick story, for example. When Michael Vick played the God card and kind of began making his comeback, a lot of that seemed to be very sincere. He definitely had some close friends and advisors who were, Tony Dungy leaps to mind, who were very religious persona and very active. Yet I never read a story that actually asked, where is this man's church? Does he have a foundation that's involved in religious causes? Does he volunteer in causes? And in other words, basic journalistic factual questions that can be investigative and run down to be able to show that, yes, it turns out this his faith really is this big a part of his life. In the case of Bubba Watson, that immediately would lead you to his church and to his foundation, and you would find all kinds of evidence that this guy is not just throwing God around for the novelty of it. This is his life. And if you want to write about his life, you're going to have to deal with it.
Contrast that, if you would, with the way that at least after his mercurial rise to fame, the same media was covering Tiger Woods, back when he was at the same caliber.
Well, Tiger Woods used his public image and persona almost as a commercial shield, as a commercial project, the way he would put that image out there. Yet at the same time, very rarely have you dealt with anybody who was more private than Tiger Woods about actually letting people inside that commercial image. Bubba Watson, I think everybody agrees, is just like the perfect total opposite of that. I mean, this is a man who is so open that it's become a joke. I mean, the degree to which the tears are the symbol of the fact that you can ask the man just about anything and he'll answer. Very Southern in that sense.
Could it also be the other angle on Bubba Watson, of course, is, I believe, a newly adopted baby, if
correct,
I'm not mistaken. And just kind of the inability of the media to get what that means for a young man really embarking upon Chapter 2 of his professional career to have as equal importance in his life to the green jacket, a baby at home?
Well, and even more than that, there's the circumstances of the fact that he went into this marriage with his I think it was their first date. When his wife saw that the date was going well, she said right up front, "I want you need to know that I'm not capable of having children, but I have medical issues. I mean, that they went into this relationship and into this marriage knowing that the ability to have children was off the table and that they would be seeking going through the long, drawn-out, painful, frustrating process of attempting to adopt. And thus along comes this child, which when he says this child is a gift, he literally means they have been working day after day after day after day after day after day trying to arrange, you know, an adoption for several years. And then, boom, here comes the kid. And, you know, shortly after that, he gets into the Masters, and this all is tied up for him in this one tumultuous moment of his life. And, of course, you saw the jokes about he hasn't had a chance to do any diaper changing yet, but he was hoping that his wife might kind of let him off the hook a little bit since he won the Masters, you know, and he might be a little bit busy here for a couple of days.
Before we let you go, Terry, I did want your thoughts on something that's probably looming on the horizon for the media and religion coverage. It's become more likely that Mitt Romney is going to be the GOP nominee for president. What kind of media coverage can we expect on Mormonism?
Well, that's fascinating because the poll data coming out of the Pew Forum on Religion and the Press is truly interesting. I'm reminded of a statement from Richard Land, the human quote machine, who is the D.C. voice for the Southern Baptist Convention. Very wonderful and articulate friend of journalists in the sense of his ability to answer questions in a witty way. I think it was Richard Land that said when you get to the general election, the issue is going to be whether Mitt Romney is Mormon enough for the GOP voters. And he said, and at that point, everybody who's going to be screaming about how bizarre Mormonism is and how strange some of its beliefs are, he said, you can expect that to swing to the left. So one of the things I would say to you is I think you should watch Comedy Central and Saturday Night Live very closely. And also, of course, people should watch kind of the serious voices of the far left. Try to find out what Andrew Sullivan does with it. What do some of the more openly liberal magazines do? I mean, look to see if there's another Mormon cover on Newsweek, that sort of thing. The polls indicate that American liberals have just as much, if not more, problem with Mormonism than do evangelicals. The difference, of course, is that the journalists think the evangelicals are biased against him on the basis of doctrine, where liberals don't like Mormons on the basis of politics, meaning one is upset about differing concepts over the Trinity, which we all know is just an imaginary bunch of hogwash anyway, thus it's nothing to be upset about, whereas liberals are upset on issues of abortion, feminism, homosexuality, and all of these things are political issues that don't have anything to do with doctrine. Of course, all of that has to do with doctrine. All of those subjects, to one degree or another, are linked to doctrinal questions. So I would make two points about what we should look for in the coverage. Number one is I think it's perfectly fair game to say you have Mormon beliefs about the following things. You've talked about them. How might that shape your views on healthcare, how your long history of volunteerism for people who are struggling in life, how might Mormonism's teachings on that affect your views of welfare or of the poor or in an age of unemployment? So those kinds of questions, I think, are perfectly valid, just as I think people should be asking Barack Obama more specific questions of that type about the links between his liberal mainline Protestant faith and his political views. The second thing, and this gives us a good chance to go full circle on this day, I also think they should be trying really hard to cover Mitt Romney in terms of absolutely ordinary journalistic questions, which is his voice. What has he said about his faith in the past? What is he saying now? And then second, you look for the factual data. How much does he give to charity? How much has he been involved in Mormonism? During his period when he was a bishop, what did he do? What were his specific jobs? In other words, when in doubt, actually act like a journalist. Go look for some facts.
Terry Mattingly is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thank you very much.
Glad to be here again. Look forward to talking to you again.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with St. Louis Post-Dispatch columnist Colleen Carroll Campbell about glamorizing murder-suicides. Also tomorrow, we're going to discuss Jesus first appearing to his disciples after his resurrection. That's mostly John chapter 20 stuff, where he appears to those disciples and speaks words like, "Peace be with you," shows them his hands and his side. Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue will be our guest. Folks, if you appreciate Issues Etc., talk radio for the thinking Christian, please consider making a donation to support this worldwide outreach. And during the 50 days of Easter, we'll send you a recording of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons. Remember, no gift is too small. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. That's LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also contribute online at issuesetc.org. Now, when you donate, please stipulate whether you want these sermons on a CD or as an MP3 download. Thanks for listening. Thanks for keeping us in mind during the Easter season. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. And as always, thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.